I heard a very interesting vote today from a friend of mine. I want to share this with you. I think it's a very, very, very precious vote. The Megillah ends with an absolute anticlimax. It tells us that that Motcha was Rotzu L'Roiv Echov, was popular to the majority of his brothers, majority of his friends still liked him. So the obvious question is, L'Roiv Echov, you know, to the majority of people liked him, but what happened to the rest of people? You know, Motcha, you're the savior, the rescue man, you're the superhero. What do you mean over here? Most people, you know, and some, what's with the sum? Why did he fall out with him? The Rashi tells us, Gemara, that Pirshim in Roiv Sanhedrin, that a lot of the Sanhedrin, the Bezdin, they didn't like him so much anymore, and there's various explanations, etc., etc., and whatever. Let's go without going into that. There's a few very interesting and good pshatim why this happened. But either way, we find the question is a bit of an anticlimax. It's a bit of a, after all this, we'd say that Motcha became a bit unpopular. After all this, you know, what is that such a sad ending? That's why I have to finish the Megillah with that. Such a strange thing, such a bizarre ending of the Megillah. And it really is. Literally the last book. So I heard today a very fascinating thought, a really brilliant thought. The Megillah speaks earlier about Haman. And it says that Haman had this enormous power. He was the richest, he was literally the wealthiest person on earth. He was the second in command, and Achashverosh wasn't so in charge. You know, he was probably more in control than Achashverosh himself. He was extremely wealthy, extremely powerful. He had everything. He had absolutely everything. It was just one thing he didn't have. And that's his Motchela, this little leader didn't bow down to him. And what does he say? Kol zeh eino shaveh li. All this is not worth it for me. And that's really what he sensed. That's really what he felt. Kol zeh eino shaveh li. There's one person who doesn't bow down to him. All this is worth nothing. And because of that, he orchestrated and he and everything, whatever. And the end is history as we know. But what's fascinating is, and that's the contrast. We've got over here Haman cannot cope with one person not listening to his authority. We've got Haman not being able to swallow the fact that there's one person who doesn't like him, who's not into him. And he orchestrates a whole manipulation, maneuvers, a whole thing because of that. And ultimately, it led to his downfall as well. Had he just left it like this, he would have been all right. As opposed to Motcha at the end, he had people falling out with him. And those people who didn't respect him anymore. And those people, whatever the reason is, without going into that, those people, they weren't yesterday's closest friend, they were not today's best friend anymore. And you know what? He didn't care. He was fine with it. He didn't fall out, he didn't make all machlokas. The Megillah finishes with that. Because that's the contrast between a Haman and a Yehudi. Haman, he has to have the power, he has to have the authority, he needs to be in charge, he needs to be in control, everybody. If you're not with me, you're against me, and then and Motcha, however, at the end, is the ultimate climax, because he teaches what he is all about. He is okay with it, you know what, okay. You know, with me, shine, doesn't matter. And that really, that's, you know, I think it's a brilliant word. It just tells us so much of the psychology of a person. It tells us much how he is meant to live. I think this is a brilliant, brilliant thought. The contrast between Haman and Motcha. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, I thought this is a nice word to share. We are, what? It's good, no? It's good. No, I heard of a friend of mine, he heard. I heard it from a friend of mine today. And I don't know where he got it from, but it was a good word. Yes.
Just to ask again on a shkafic nature. So we know that the reason why the Jews were endangered was because of a lack of actors, and they became united because of the whole threat against them. Over here at the end, you have some people who are all of a sudden against Mordechai because of an apparent drop in his learning Torah. I mean, in the scheme of things, Mordechai was meant to do what he did in terms of saving the Jewish people.
You're right. Fine. Yeah, this is a show on its own. I can't go into it. It's a very interesting question. What happened there exactly about Motcha? Why did people suddenly dislike him after being the absolute hero of the story? It's a very interesting question, but I suppose that's not the right forum to discuss it. But it's definitely a valid question. Simon Tov Reish Tzadi Zayin, which is the last simon, not only of Hilchas Purim, but it is also the last simon of Shulchan Aruch Erechaim. Now, we have cheated a bit, and we will get back to that. I know. But we have to see things, you know, in a positive way. So, Ein Oymen Chinna B'Yidala B'Tezov Shabbat Orishin B'Din Tainez V'Hespet Bohem. There's fascinating halachos which are hidden inside the Mishnah Berurah over here. We will cover those in Mishnah Berurah tonight as well. Yom Dala B'Tezov Shabbat Orishin Einof Na Pleihem. on the 14th and 15th of Adar, Rishon, so, and you don't say Tachanon, we don't say what we call Amnatzeach, between Asha and Uvoletzien, that capital, we don't say that either. Vasurim behefset ve'tainis, and so this is adoration. When there is an adoration, unlike this year, so you're going to note on the 14th and 15th of adoration, it's called Purim Cotton, and you will not say hesped, you will not fast, you will not say tachanun, and will you not say yam chashem b'yom tzorim. But all the other mitzvahs don't apply there. So in other words, you will not send Mishlach Manos, you will not do a Seuda, you will not give Matanis Davyoine, because ultimately it's not Purim. All it is that you don't say Tachman, you don't say Hespet. Actually, you are allowed to say Hespet and a Tainis, but the Ramah says, Vaminik is for Rishon, and the Minik is like the formal opinion. It is interesting to note that there is a minority opinion that is not even mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, but it is a minority opinion which is brought down in the Achronim that actually is room for doing some of the mitzvahs. But the Ma'aseh Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring it down. I want to just bring over here a very interesting Mishnah Berurah. I don't understand this Mishnah Berurah. It's again one of those which I don't understand it. Mishnah Berurah of Katan Aleph, he says, in a Purim Katan, so the Purim in the first Adar, you will not recite Al Nisim. Kevan in Kurim Megillah, because you don't say the Megillah, so you don't say Anisim. Ve'im Omroi, but if you did say it, and Machzirin Oiso, you don't go back. Rabbi Isai, if you say Anisim random, in a random day, will you have to go back Shemoneh Esrei? So what's the Mishnah Berurah saying over here? That if you did say en machzirin oiso, So, but I'm saying, so if you go, do you have to go back on a regular day? Or is it the same thing on, if you'd say in the middle of Shvat, you say Alan Issin, do you have to go back? What do you say? Yeah, so I think that you do go back if you say Alan Issin, because my assumption is that you do go back if you say Alan Issin in the middle of nowhere. So if that's the case, then why don't you go back over here in adoration? You don't say Alan Issin in adoration, Purim Cottons, but why? Why? What's the why? Why you?
The miracles happening to the Jewish people all the time on a
daily basis. Why an adoration? Why an adoration when there is an adoration? There is no Purim in adoration. So why is it different? Why is it if you did sell an Nisim, you don't go back? Havamina to come out, but it doesn't stay with Havamina. It ends up with the Kamash Manon. You're right. It's Havamina, but there's also Kamash Manon. So I find it very interesting. So it's as if you know we're saying that is it connected? Is it Purim? Is it not Purim? Yeah.
It's
still something there. Yeah, so that is obviously the answer. There's still something. And then the Ramah does continue and say that there is a bit of an Indian that, well, the Shulchan Aruch told us, we don't say Tachanun, no fasting permitted. So there's still something there. And that's why you don't go back if you did say an Issim. All right, so I've gotten base is one of those Mishnah Berurahs which is relevant to many shuls very frequently. Now, the mizma also purim kotten mizma. Yeah, okay. He says that the people in Lvov do say mizma le'osof. Okay, and then he says, I'm just going back. Vein oim ele chapaim bepurim kotten shne yomim, telem natzeach yancho ve'ele chapaim shovim heimo. So, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying over here is that there's a minik that whenever you... One second, where is this? That whenever you don't say tachanun, that's it. Yesh b'levav shein oim roise b'chol yoim shein oim tachanun. The custom in Lvov is that every day that you do not say tachanun, you don't say lamatzech yancho. Rabbi Yisai, Mishnah Berurah tells of you a rule. Every day that you don't say tachanun, you will not say yancho. In Lvov. I believe Rabbi Frankel will correct us or not, but chassim, that's very often, some chassim definitely have that meaning, no? Whenever there is no tachanon, you don't say lama, there you go. So that is a minig. I know that, but in the more English, Yekish, Litvish, the more of that side of the Jewry you see you're situated, more that you're not going to be, because I know, for instance, the United Synagogue, which has got a very, some of the minogim are very, you know, very ancient, very choshev. So, for instance, they don't have that minig, I understand. But Yekas also don't have that minig. And I think the British, the old British minig is also not. But it is such a minig. So, in other words, on a day that you don't say tachanun, will you say lam natzach? Yes or no? That's the various minogim about that. And there's plenty of places. And chassidim also, chassidim don't say, what's the... There is such a thing as saying tachanun. But I'm saying, but yeah, I know, but I'm saying, not forget about in other. In the middle of, you have stamp Ziyut site. I don't know. There's a day that there's no Tachanon. You don't say Tachanon, but will you say Lam Natzachanon? You will say. Ah, all right, okay. But it says Fadim, that's indeed the case with that. Okay, now, where Lviv is? Yeah, Lviv. So, but in Yiddish, it was called Lviv. Lviv, it's spelled L-W-O-W. Lviv. Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's in Poland. In Poland, why? What? No, it's fun to have that meaning as well. He just brings in, that was the meaning of Lvov, and I'm adding that it's a quite a common meaning in other parts of Yiddishkeit as well. Now he quotes Frankfurter Order, which I think is very interesting as well. V'chein lagim Frankfurter Order that they. That only the days you don't say Hallel, that's the days you don't say Mitzvot. Right, and then it, okay. Now it carries on the Mishnah with another important halacha, which is not necessarily Purim related. Misha Eroloi Neis Be'Adol. Somebody who had a great miracle that happened to him personally in Adol. Say, somebody had a fire in his house and he survived. Or say somebody had a plane crash and he survived. Whatever, you know. A Neis happened to him in Adol. Fekivet al Atzmoi, he was accepted on himself. He said, every single year, on that day, I'm going to celebrate. Which, by the way, is a very right thing to do. So that's how that you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracle that happened on that particular day, to you personally. Now, what happens in if that happened, so what you do it in Ador Rishon or Ador Sheni. So he says, Yimero B'Shon O'Pshuto Oysim B'Rishon. Yimero B'Moberes B'Sheni Yase B'Sheni. He says, if it happened if it happened in a Ibuyah, then you're going to do it in the second. If it happened in Ibuyah, you're going to do it in the second Ador. But if it happened in normal year, you're going to celebrate it in a leap year. You're going to celebrate it in the Adoration. Is that a chiddush or not? Is that in line with what we discussed previously? Again, Rabbi Isai, a person had a great miracle that happened, he wants to celebrate it, which, by the way, is a very good thing to do. Do you know people who do say, I mean, it's, yeah, there's people who do so, they say, when something great happened, miracle happened. So a person has got it happens to be that the miracle happened in Ador. In a leap year, will he celebrate in Ador Rishon or Ador Sheni? Rishon. He says Orishan. Yeah, what do you say? Now, this is a big chiddush because elsewhere we have learned, when does a person keep a yard site? A person has got a yard site in... You've got... it was not Orishan, Taka. All right. But if somebody has got the yard site in Adol, and it's a leap year, the subsequent year, when does he keep the yard site? Orishan or Dosheni? Dosheni. So that's a contradiction with that, it appears. Yeah. So that's what Achloim asked. That it seems from here that if somebody... here we're saying that if somebody's celebrating in Ador, he's got to celebrate in Ador Sheni, in Adoration. And however, somebody's got the yard site, he keeps Ador Sheni. Why? Which one is the real Ador? Adoration or Ador Sheni? Seems to be a bit of a contradiction.
Why would the yard site, isn't it just based on if the Nifter was in Ador Sheni?
But if there was not a leap year? What if it was not Nifter in a leap year?
Why isn't it always Adoration?
Because what we learned there is that the real Adar is the one which is close to Nissan. And the additional month is just an additional culture which happened to call it Adar.
That's not just the Gabbai Simcha, that's the Gabbai everything.
That's what it sounded like there, but we've got to be able to differentiate in some way and distinguish, because here we're learning that you're actually celebrating in the first Hadar, so it's a bit interesting. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. If somebody does make a Seuda, whenever it's going to be, Hadar Rishon, Hadar Sheni, whatever it is, in Shvat, in Nisan, whenever you're doing this Seudas Mitzvah, it's a Seudas Mitzvah. So you wash, and it's a proper Seudas Mitzvah. It's important, Rabbi Said. Mishnah Berurah speaks about this in two places, I believe. That if you celebrate, you should. If you have nes happen to somebody, you've got to celebrate. You've got to do this mitzvah. People who have nisim, who had real nisim that happened to them, it's important to put that in context and make a meal and make a mitzvah from it. So that's mitzvah. Okay, now the Ramah continues. I'm in the last line of the Ramah. Mikol mokum yabek tzas besuuda kedelot says. Going back to the Odor Rishon, so when there is a leap year and there's an Odor Rishon, whilst Purim, of course, is celebrating the second Adar, but you still got to celebrate Purim Koton in the first Adar, you still celebrate to some extent. Yer b'ktsas b'seuda, on the 14th or 15th of Odor Rishon, you should still have a little bit of a greater meal. What's a little, how do you, what's the Mabe Ktsas Besuda? How do you do that? How do you Mabe Besuda?
Add on one dish.
Add on dish, yeah.
A number,
what do you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Just celebrate a bit and add a bit. Now, the toy Vlev Mish the Tomet, Mish the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. So, good question. It sounds yabek tzas besuuda. So it would sound like that you increase in the meal. I don't know if you have to actually wash. An adoration. It doesn't say you have to wash, but when you eat, you should add a bit of extra dessert, like you know the extra topping. Yeah. What you were saying? Now the Mishnah Berurah finishes Oirichaim by the words Toiv Leiv Mishnah Tomit. A person should always be very Toiv Leiv. Somebody's got a good heart. Mishnah Tomit. It should be very. Mishnah Tomit. Toiv Leiv Mishnah Tomit should always be very happy and celebrating. And the question, of course, is why does the Shulchan Aruch the Ramah to Oirichaim finish with the words Toiv Leiv Mishnah Tomit? What's now? So. I see. Yeah, good. I want to say two thoughts over here. Both equally important. Life is one long party. So I want to go with what you're saying a little bit. I want to say like this. So the one thing is, I think very, very, very true. And that is, I don't remember if I've heard this once. I thought to myself, I'm not sure. But how does the Shulchan Aruch starts with in Oichaim Simon Aleph? How does it start? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's presence. I'm totally aware of Hashem's presence, 24/7. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. The Shulchan Aruch starts off saying, "Zeklal Gadol Batoyah." That's a very great rule. So that's quite pressurizing. You know, we see in front of own Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. We can just about cope. No, on our Kodesh, we can cope with it. Shivisi Hashem. It's quite. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. So yeah. So that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is Toiv Leiv Mishnah Tomit. One side of Shulchan Aruch tells you Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. The other side tells you Toiv Leiv Mishnah Tomit. You know, have a great party. So you have to kind of balance it in between. You've got to kind of balance. You have to have a bit of this and a bit of don't get too extreme. Two party. If you're just partying away, that's no good. You're going to end up, I don't know how. You're going to end up on... But if you're just too heavy, too tense, with Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit, that's also no great. You've got to find a balance somewhere in the middle of Shulchan Aruch. Point number one, I think it's very, very true that. You've got to do both extremes. Point number two, which I think is equally true, and it's only somehow connected, but I think it's very true as well. I strongly feel that, yeah? Yeah, you've got to build both at all times.
Yeah. One's not a steer to the other. You can be.
Yeah, so maybe the second thought is more, the second thought is going to help you more, perhaps. I want to say like this. I want to say that there is a complete mistaken attitude that some people say. People say that, you know, if you learn halacha, you know, it gets complicated, and you learn halacha, and you know, too much mishtabuas and everything, and you know, it's so untrue, because it gives a tremendous freedom, and you're much more relaxed once you know the halachas. Once you know what you're doing, you know, the Gemara says, lechatchila, you should have the Purim Suda before Chatzos. Great, so now I know it. Lechatchila, I do it before Chatzos. If I have no time, I'm going to do it after Chatzos. Very good. He gives you a sense of, wow, I know what to do. I know about Mishloach Monos. I know about Matanes Lev Yoinim. I know about Shachis. I know about Shemoneh Esrei. I know about to do everything. I know what to do. I know Hilchos Shabbos. I know. He gives you a sense of happiness and satisfaction. You feel much more confident in what you're doing. That is Tov Lev Mishta Tomit. Halacha doesn't pressure. Halacha doesn't make you sad and bitter. And on the contrary, once you know what you're doing, you're much more happy, you're much more relaxed, you're much more satisfied, because you know exactly where you're going and what you're doing. So at the end of Orech Chaim, Ramo is telling us, you know what, now you know it a little bit, Tov Lev Mishta Tomit. Now you can relax, you know what you're doing, Tov Lev Mishta Tomit. I think that's a very, very important thought as well. Yeah, I didn't think of that, but that's maybe the Shivis Hashem. Someone don't know where to turn, don't know where to turn. Tov Lev Mishta Tomit. The Rama finished with these beautiful words: Nishlam Tov Lev Mishta Tomit, Vilchas Megillah, Shemach Vehoidol Neiro Alilom, who is Akein Ligmor Eskul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who bends us to complete all the halachas, Vatzileinu Mikol Michshav, Vetakol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should save us from many mistakes and mishaps. Baruch Hashem La'olam, Amen Ve'Amen. We should continue with Shem with the rest of our Chaim. We haven't really completed, but we'll carry on with Shem Mechai Lechol. Now, on a technical note, I do recall that at some years, not all years, some years we did have a share on Tainus Esther. I do not recall which years, when years, what, when, how, and everything. But if there is a few of us interested, happy to do a share tomorrow. Just, I remember once doing it late after Megillah. I remember doing it once before Maariv. So I don't know if the Olim is interested. And if yes, I'm happy to be needed to... it's up to the Olim. On Zoom you can join. What time would you want? Like late? Should we do like late, or should we do before Maariv? Or should we do it at all? He's not so, you think it's going to be difficult tomorrow?
Yeah.
You're going to find this hard this year.
You can't do it before, because you're going to bring the kids to here.
Right, okay. So you want to do it late? So not, yeah, but it's hard because, you know, the women's Megillah. Okay, so, no, it's fine. What time is the Megillah reading, the full ladies?
8:40.
Yeah. So they're going to be back by?
9:25.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit difficult this year. Should we leave it? Leave it. Okay, it's 11. And therefore, I wish you all a Freilichen Purim. A Freilichen Purim. It's really a very, very special day. We should be zoiched to steig on this very special day, full of simcha. Take a Tov Lev Mishta Tomit, and we'll see each other on Sunday with Shem at 8 o'clock, same time, same place. Okay. Freilichen Purim to all.